Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man!
And we should do a little bit of a shout out because yeah. Booth Man's Booth Mom is here today.
Yeah! Booth Mom!
Probably, up to this moment, she probably didn't know she was a Booth Mom.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Sorry, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, he's a lovely boy, and he keeps himself safe.
We've taught him so much over the years, so many different swear words.
Yes. So, Justin, what did you do today? Actually, I'm sorry, before I forget, this is a while ago, but Pete, I just wanted to say, I remember that was the time a couple of months ago when you got invited to that Scott Pilgrim screening,
yep.
And you were like, Alex, I know you have the baby that you're taking care of at home, but you, if you can go, can you figure out how to go?
Yeah. And then I emailed Justin because you couldn't go, and then I was hey, do you want to go?
Right, no, and that was really awesome of you, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pete, you're a good friend. Anyway, I'm sorry, what did you do today?
Wait a second, before we get on to whatever
let's talk about...
So you emailed him first and then you emailed me after he said no?
No, no, I emailed you both to see if
you wanted. Yeah, you did. Anyway.
I was lucky enough to see Scott Pilgrim.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Great.
Wait, was it like just like there was one seat in the audience?
No, I had all these tickets, and I invited all of these strangers on the street. I invited the guys from the Jamba Juice down there. They love
they're
movies.
Good guys. They're good.
They're great guys.
Yeah.
There was. I brought my bicycle in, and I thought I should get a ticket.
Well, okay. What did your bicycle think of the movie?
Yeah.
All spokes down from the bicycle. That's too bad. All right. But
realistically, the movie was great. Right?
It was fantastic.
Well,
it was
great.
Look, it was great, especially because you weren't there.
I think we're gonna fight about this for the rest of the show. So why don't
the rest of our lives?
Probably. I think so. I'm sure the movie isn't that good. Anyway, I'm going to go see a screening of Step Up 3D, you guys.
Oh, wow.
I know that's not a joke.
Yeah, I am really going to see a screening and you're not invited.
That's cold, man.
No, please.
I thought we
do
were
it.
Close.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest we have tonight, so let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Ben Joseph! Thanks for coming to the show.
No problem.
Yay, we're excited to have you. So, you work for College Humor.
I do.
Which is a website that is focused on...
Well, originally, at one point, it was comedy.
Anytime we trail off, we have to fill it.
At one point, it was boobs and college-related comedy. It's not that anymore. The geeks have actually kind of taken over. We do a lot of, a lot of video content, a lot of... Latin nerd related stuff. I run the cartoons there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nice.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a really good
time. Well, you've written a bunch of different cartoons, which are Batman versus Superman.
They let me make two. I have scripts for seven more ready to go. I wrote two. The seriousness of the Dark Knight, and Superman kind of comes into that and shows how easy it would be if actual superheroes existed in that world. Like, Batman's freaking out because, Harvey Dent's over here and Rachel Dawson's over here and there's no way you can get to both of them, then Superman just comes and picks them both up and it's back in 10 seconds. And everybody's happy. It's great.
Now, doing these cartoons, I don't know if this directly led, but you were working in the DC offices for a while?
I was working in, I wrote for a show, first there was a show called Mad TV.
Right.
Which was great, and everybody loved. And that show got canceled. Oh, thank you. That show got canceled and the license...
Boom!
Booth Man!
Me!
So they canceled Mad TV and the license for Mad Magazine went back to Warner Brothers. And they decided, hey, because this is a book with cartoons, with comics in it, it should be an animated show.
Mm-hmm.
So they're relaunching it in the fall as an animated sketch show for kids, and I got to write for that for a month.
Awesome.
And Warner Brothers Animation is handling that, which also handles all the direct-to-DVD DC stuff. So I got to see all the cool art for, like, if you want to know what the Thundercats look like, the new Thundercats look like, I can...
You can describe it to us?
Cool!
I'm okay.
How sharp are the lines?
Well, Lionel's actually, he's a teenager this time.
Bullshit.
Just where's Panthro? Don't you say anything bad about Panthro.
But I got to see the All-Star Superman art, which is going to be a direct DVD. And also, they have this really cool white wall where everybody who comes through sort of leaves a little sketch. And like Sergio Aragonés from Mad, Bruce Timm. Actually, Bruce Timm has a parking spot. I don't know how often he uses it, but he has a spot right in front of the building, so he'll just shortest amount of time from getting to his car to doing whatever he does.
So, writing, whatever he does, eating donuts, hanging out. So, writing for the show, did you get to work any of your geeky or comic book impulses in there?
Yeah, a little bit. One of the sketches I really wrote is because, you know, they're rebooting Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And the sketch I pitched was, we knew they were doing it for a younger audience, but no one knew how young, so I did the trailer for Baby Spider-Man, which has a lot of adorable visuals in it. My favorite is Doc Octopus is holding Mary Jane and she's yelling for help and Doc Octopus goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, Spider-Man's a little distracted right now," and it's this octopus arm jingling keys over Baby Spider-Man. So I wrote a lot of Twilight sketches, which I still haven't seen any of those movies.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. Huh? Twilight. No, we do occasionally and everyone's like, "What?"
what else did I? The sketch is kind of like, it's set up like Robot Chicken. It's longer parodies and shorter sort of cutaway sketches. I'm trying to remember what, if I wrote any. Yeah, I did like a Harry Potter. So it's like, they kept saying things like Phineas and Ferb and stuff, like iCarly, which I didn't really know what those
were. Oh yeah, we're big fans of
iCarly. I've got a like, ton of iCarly sketches, if you want. Both drawings
well,
and
still,
also
I'm still doing Phineas and Ferb, so if you want to, you know, if you want to let me put, sort of put my name on that and just kind of...
Yeah, I've been waiting for someone to steal from me. Trying to find the right person.
Every week, you're like, "Can I do my iCarly sketches here on Comic Book Club?" And we're always like, "Yes," and then we run out of time.
I know. So I have so many costumes. So many actors back there waiting. iCarly's right backstage.
No, it's crazy. Information Carly herself.
I don't know anything enough about that show to even make a joke about it. Is it about a little computer?
I know that I usually stands for information, and I know Carly is a name, so I was able to put together that joke.
That's pretty much it. The head writer wrote CSI Carly, and from what I read, he didn't know enough about it either to be making jokes about it. So it was.
Is it a lot of characters standing around going like?
Oh, how involved is Carly Simon? Is she still
after season 7 she kind of
we should probably move on. The other thing to ask you about, so College Humor is working on a pilot.
Yeah, I actually I brought that up and then I don't know how much I'm actually allowed to talk about that.
I think you're allowed to talk about all of it.
We do
permission granted. It's over.
But you know how on College Humor we do what we, you know, for a long time we didn't want to make Mario jokes because we were like, "Oh, that's not us, we don't do that, we're above that." And then we did our first Mario sketch, with the Mario sex scene, actually. And it got like a bazillion views. And we're like, "We're definitely not above this. We are doing Mario sketches every day." But like, we've started doing a lot of like 8 and 16-bit animation on the site, and it's done ridiculously well. So we're actually turning that into sort of a pilot presentation that we're going to
shove
around.
Awesome.
Very cool. What am I
why would you be above Mario? Is that?
I think it was
where's
like,
the, I guess, where's the line?
Yeah, it's not at Mario sex scene, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Is it bubble bobble humor?
Well, we started out, we did a lot of nostalgia. I mean, we have sort of come to this, like, you can only mine so deep, and you know, we kind of try to find out, like, I wrote a StarCraft sketch recently. We thought, StarCraft, that's 10 years old. You know, I wrote it a year ago, and no one was like, StarCraft, we can't do that. But now StarCraft 2 is the biggest thing on the internet right now, so we actually re-release that sketch.
Or you could have just done that sketch and sent it to Korea. All right, back to iCarly jokes, you guys, and also on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Really? First thing we're going to talk about, you guys, Amazing Spider-Man number 638, kicking off the One Moment in Time storyline from Joe Quesada. Now, for those of you who don't know, a couple of years ago, Marvel broke up the marriage of... Just close your earmuffs. Earmuffs, Pete. No?
Close your earmuffs, Pete.
Close your earmuffs. Marvel broke up the marriage of Mary Jane and Peter Parker, Spider-Man, when Spider-Man made a deal with the devil. This is going back and showing what happened, how all of history changed, what happened on their wedding day, why they were never together. So this story has been a long time coming. What did you think about it, Justin?
Sure.
I want to keep this civil for a little while.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, I'm sure we'll all get to share our even-tempered opinions in due time.
Which are based on criticism of the work and not necessarily personal, emotional, stupid feelings.
Portrait of an Artist. Wow. Portrait of an Artist as Critic. So what happened in here is that all of this boils down to Spider-Man couldn't make his wedding because a fat man fell on him. Which, I don't know if that was the original...
And by the way, you think we're joking.
That's literally what happens.
Literally, a fat man falls on his head, he falls unconscious, the fat man falls unconscious... Spider-Man
then they wake up like the next day. It seems like they're like, "Whoa!"
Is it the Blob?
No, just a regular fat guy. Just some guy.
His name's Eddie.
And he's not even that fat. He's kind of overweight.
Now, I don't know if that was like Joe Q's original pitch or if like it started somewhere else, but like it's just bad. It's very, very bad. No real twist. No.
What would be the... Oh, we'll have an elephant fall on him. That'll keep him out for a day. No, that's not good.
I don't know. Well,
it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's unrealistic for an elephant to fall on a man with spider powers.
The other thing you didn't mention is they use panels from the original Spider-Man annual where they got married. So there's this like...
Please don't now fold over the comic
book. Sorry.
Even though you hate it,
that's a good point. Fold it all you want.
Wow,
that's the first time. But it leaves these really weird, like, sort of weird. Hey, remember when we got married in the 70s and everybody wore suits and we gave each other telegrams? Like, they're just very weird, like, anachronistic moments.
Yeah. I will say, and then we'll get to Pete's opinion, just sort of like wrap it up like nicely. I think.
Yeah.
I actually like this. I mean, I didn't. I
liked
the art.
You liked it?
I liked the art quite a bit.
Yeah, why don't you just dovetail your opinion right
here?
Here's what I want to talk about.
Paolo Rivera's art is very nice. I like how it dovetailed with the original story. I like how it dovetailed with Joe Quesada's art. I think that worked nicely. The story itself, I don't think there's enough even to necessarily make fun of other than the man falling on Spider-Man that it's just like, sure, this is fine. That's kind of what I thought happened other than the man falling on him. Now, Pete, what do you think about this?
Well, that statement was ridiculous. You think, oh, it's okay, yeah, sure, that happens. When you're fighting crime, a fat person would fall on a superhero, and he wouldn't be able to do anything about it. Like, all the other times where Spider-Man's stuck underground, oh my god, will this be the end? You know, someone comes along, unburies him. A whole day and night, he's just a fat guy sitting on top of a superhero.
Nobody
in New York City would maybe stop and be like, hey, what's going on?
Well, they were on a roof.
They were on a roof. Every superhero has this weakness, right? Superman has kryptonite. Green Lantern has yellow. Spider-Man has a fat man sitting on it. The original story would have stopped that robber from killing his Uncle Ben, except Fat Man was sitting on it.
Yeah. That's true. It's in the origin.
In all fairness, he does get hit in the head with a cinder block a couple pages earlier. Yeah. So maybe that's his real weakness.
Cinderbox.
All right, we'll go with that too.
And like, we're all caught up in like Spider-Man story, but think about what the Fat Man missed out on.
Oh yeah,
he was on top of a superhero.
That would have been great, actually, if he was like, "Oh no, my wedding!"
And they were both like, "Your wedding? What?" And MJ had like a backup plan and was the fat guy.
And I will tell you what, that is already more interesting than what is actually.
Yeah. But what I do like about this is at one moment in time, and it says omit. Like, you should just omit this story from your life. No need to buy it, no need to pick it up, no need to even read it, because it's effing ridiculous.
Here's the thing, what if at the end of this they get back together? Will you be like, will you pick it up? Will you then read it and see that it was leading to something?
Or no,
will you
just because be like, then I'm it's angry. Back to where it should be. Where like, oh, hey, you know what? This whole thing with Mephisto being like, you know what? I'm the devil, sure.
All divorces are brought on by the devil. So, like, let's put that aside. That's just the way it happens.
Okay, yeah, the devil now, instead of dealing with souls and torturing people, he wants to break up marriage. He's in the marriage breaking up business. That's a ridiculous thing.
Every breakup is because of the devil. He's just like, don't...
That's what I always say.
Yeah. Keep drinking, is what he says.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't
He's like, why don't you go out today? Yeah. Why don't you see that friend you haven't talked to in a while? And it's just ridiculous that this whole 2 years has gone by, and it's been like... Okay, what did MJ whisper to, Mephisto, the devil? And it's ridiculous. Like, first of all, how do you come up with it? You know what? I'm just going to whisper something in the devil's ear. That's cool, right? We're just making a deal with the devil. I'm sure.
Well, she knew she was going to be single, so she was like,
let me just lay some groundwork.
Yeah,
like,
his ear is really hot. Like, when you get close to your ear, you're like, ooh, this is a hot ear. I don't want to whisper in this ear.
It brought me back to such a place of anger and disappointment.
No, I want to talk about this hot ear thing. Let's get back to that.
I don't know. Read the Bible.
Wow.
That's the best comment.
So I would just like to sum up by, hopefully Marvel won't go bankrupt because of this awful writing and storytelling, and hopefully we'll get back on to another plane of existence and truth where you can believe in your superheroes again. Because right now it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Hey, here's a great idea. Let's take our favorite superhero and just fucking make everything that happened bullshit.
That was the pitch. Weird.
Yeah, that was the pitch.
That was
probably the pitch. That's everything you make bullshit. All right, we're going to move on with our next issue.
Whoa!
Oh!
Oh, this is jokes out of writing one moment in time.
Next title, please. All right, we are going to talk about True Blood. Number one, you guys, from IDW.
So Twilight, no, but True Blood, yes?
Yeah.
He loves it, yeah.
What?
So you like True Blood?
I said, it's got good acting.
Yeah,
it's got good acting.
Good acting, this is how I act.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. So I haven't read this one, but Dr. Octopus makes an appearance?
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. Or sorry, Black Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, yeah. It's Dr. Blacktopus.
Oh, God.
Dr. Blacktopus.
The reason they announced at Comic-Con.
Oh, man.
What do you guys think about this?
It's not good. I mean, I don't like the series, so I, you know, started reading this like, okay, well, hopefully this will be better. And it's, I don't know, you don't care about any of these characters who are dying. Like, they're just like, you just see them in a bar drinking, and then a vampire starts ripping them in half, and you're like, well, I didn't know that person. Oh, she could have been nice, but we won't know. And then it's like, and then you're supposed to be like, no,
that's nice. You think of each of them as like,
yeah.
Oh, I wish I got to know them.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know.
Do you do the same thing when you're seeing, like, Saving Private Ryan? We're like, yeah, that kid was kind of interesting, but that guy over there, like the corner guy, not this small.
Yeah. You should meet some movie extras. I think you'd really be really.
This is like first issue.
This is the first issue. Yeah.
So it seems subject to this rule that if nerds like it, we must make a comic book about it, which I'm not. Is not always the best idea.
Well, what do you think doesn't work as a comic book besides blood?
Well, I think like when Heroes came out and they made all the comments about Heroes, those were all awful. Yeah. And I don't know, like Army of Darkness was not that great. Did you like the Army of Darkness comic books?
How about name one good adaptation?
Oh, interesting.
Good adaptation?
I actually didn't
mind some of the Army of Darkness comic books. The Ash Saves Obama comic book was surprisingly fun and funny.
Extremely grounded.
For the record, that I don't think this is that bad. I think it's silly and over the top like the show is, and it's fun, and it certainly brings something new to the mix.
What's new into the what mix?
Tentacle Monster. Huh? Dr. Blacktopus.
Oh, so that's new into
Stop saying that. Jesus.
If I keep
saying that. Is that offensive? Is that Dr. Blacktopus? Are we not allowed to?
Stop saying that! Oh, God!
That's not offensive. He earned a degree. Like, he's obviously trying to make himself as best he can be. This is bad.
Very bad.
the writing is so still that it also, like, the True Blood is so like,
oh, really?
We're trying to make vampire spirits in a real world where like it's very melodramatic, but everything's grounded. In this, they're like, they're in a bar and all of a sudden this guy walks in and everyone's like, oh, I've seen demons like this before. It's an Indian spirit who's come here to challenge us or something. And it's like, what? It's nothing to do with the show. The show is like, who's gonna like miss each other more? And this is like... This is totally different.
I actually think it did a good job of channeling the dialogue and the characters of the show, personally.
You also are a big fan, so you're...
Well, no, I'm not, but I think that show often is very stilted. So,
The acting and accents in the comic were much better than the TV. I will say that.
Yeah. Drop your card.
Oh, that's a blank card, by the way. Not to blow up your spot, but that's completely blank. I don't know.
Or is it?
Next
title we're going to talk about is Scott Pilgrim's Spider-Sour, Volume 6. Now, I don't think they've made a movie of this yet, but if they did...
Now, so I didn't invite you to the movie. I didn't, like, not allow you to learn about it. I didn't totally... You can see it when it comes out, like, every regular person.
I don't
so Alex is the only one in this row for
that's
in the movie.
That's right.
Yeah. What the fuck?
And I saw it with Pat, like, 3 months ago.
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah. Many people in the audience have also seen it, so...
How much are we allowed to say about the movie?
Nothing.
I didn't sign anything.
Nothing.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Well, what
Michael
I was...
What? Michael Sarah's.
Oh, come on!
What I was real disappointed with is, but when we saw it, it's changed.
Right,
it's
that's easy. What I wanted to say, is that they changed things.
Which is very upsetting, because I love the movie I saw.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it, so that's very upsetting that they changed something.
Why? It's definitely better.
What? You haven't seen the other one. How would you even know
I just
that?
Know.
Oh.
All right, let's talk about the book.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
What'd you guys think about this? We've been big fans of the series pretty much the entire time it's been out. I know you and I, at least, Pete, you can certainly chime into this. We're not quite as crazy about the fifth volume. So I was certainly trepidatious, I think, going into this final volume, seeing whether to wrap everything up.
seeing if it would live up to the legacy of the series. What do you guys think?
I was sort of bummed out by the sixth volume. I don't know. I wanted a twist so badly. I wanted something to be excited. And I'm a huge Kim Pine fan.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Me too.
Me as well. Man. And I was just bummed out. I thought through volume five, I was like, Ramona, I was just sort of over her, and I wish that, I thought it was going to be about Scott learning, I'm sort of ruining that anyways. I thought it was going to be about...
Don't do that.
Huh?
Just
because he didn't end up there, it's fine.
I would disagree a little bit. Like, I really enjoyed the book up until the last part. There was, because I had read the movie first, I was like, oh, there's some
serious... You really? What?
Watch the movie first.
Why didn't you pass me a copy then?
Yeah. I watched the movie first. I was like, oh, there's some serious spoilers in this. So I feel like you should realistically see the movie first, then read it.
Would you have been happy
with
the movie?
That's actually what I did. I'm kind of late to this train. I kind of, Scott Pilgrim, this thing's great. We have been, the one thing I like about the book that the movie doesn't, that I told you guys, is it's kind of like, it's very accurately portraying what it's like to be a shitty person in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And the movie doesn't make Scott as bad of a person as the book does.
That's actually, I think, a little too bad, because I think that's one of the things that's kind of wonderful about this and also wonderful about the last volume is... this is the broadest possible, almost not really spoiler at all, but Scott barely changes at all at the end of this volume. It's not like he has this revelation, he's like, and I'm suddenly the most wonderful person in the world. He goes from being kind of a shitty person to a slightly less shitty person.
So from being a 23-year-old to a 24-year-old.
Exactly, which I think is so realistic and so nice. I actually really like this a lot. I thought it tied things up very nicely. It was very funny, it was very exciting. I thought it was a fitting end to the series.
This guy just likes everything.
I love everything.
That's
Congress
for me. Yeah, but you haven't seen the movie yet, so you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, shut up. All right. Next thing we're going to talk about is something that will never be translated to any other medium anywhere. The Walking Dead, number 75. So let's talk about this big anniversary issue. I am kidding, of course, because Walking Dead is going to be on AMC. It's going to be a sequel.
Oh!
Frank Darabont, among other people. Robert Kirkman himself writes the series, is writing an episode. There's a little bit of a pictorial preview in the back here, which is awesome.
It's really awesome.
Very cool.
It's like a cool transition. It goes from black and white, then there's some fun color stuff, and then all of a sudden it goes into live action.
Pictures of real people.
And that last couple of pages, I literally jumped because the zombies are scary.
Yeah, I think they kind of, that was the intent.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with this is you're right.
I think you're right. When I got the comic, Pete was like, be careful with that. This is really scary. I was like, all right, I can handle it. I wet my pants.
The nature of the series is these characters we're looking at, they're like, hey, remember these characters you all love from 70 issues ago who don't hang out together anymore? And like, you see some of them and you're like, we all know what happens to this guy. That's not fun.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't remember.
I like the way you talk about them being dead is they don't hang out anymore. What a nice way to think about it.
It's the way I think about life.
I know.
So true. Well, then, what did you guys think about this issue?
This is great. I mean, right now in this series, they've gotten to a safe location, so you're like, oh, back to normal life.
But is anywhere safe?
That's what we're, coming to the realization.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Stuff goes down in this issue. So before it was like, can we adjust? And people were like, I miss killing things. And I'd be like, I can relate to that. I bet.
Wait, you miss it?
Well, I would say if I was...
A lot of times people only miss things if they've done them before.
Right.
Have you killed people?
Big admission. Booth Mom's here, and she's an FBI investigator.
All right. I think you guys think this is a good issue?
I thought it was great. It's nice to see Rick going back and forth between the hero, but also he's sort of a jerk. All
right. There we go. All right. Next thing we're going to move on and talk about Batman Beyond.
Number two.
Yeah. There we go. That's fine. Adam Beeshin ain't here. What did you guys think about this? I think we were pretty surprised by the first issue, right?
And because
in fact,
really
it was fun and it was
good.
What did you guys think about this? Did it hold up?
Yeah, I think it's great. Batman from the future. It's weird. Hush is the villain of this series, and I've never been a big Hush fan.
Yeah, is Hush? People keep telling me that Hush is great. I don't.
No, he's not.
Okay, good.
Are these friends of yours? Like the sort of friends who wouldn't invite you out to see a movie?
These guys right here?
Yeah.
That's what
right. Oh, yeah. This old thing.
Yeah.
Want to see Charlie St. Cloud this weekend, Alex?
I would love to.
Let me make it to you.
I think when I say people, I mean comics, because that's what I consider.
I hear it.
But like they keep, hey, they're like, hey, remember Hush? He's so great. But you know, what Hush is the mummy. Other than that,
he's this is the problem with Hush. I think is all of the great Batman villains are very well defined. Like you hear Killer Croc, and you're like, all right, I kind of know what that is. You know.
Great branding.
They're very clear. Hush is like, okay, if I told you Hush, you'd be like, okay, what is Hush?
It's like, don't talk
about it. Yeah, but he's like super loud.
Yeah, don't know.
He has bandages. He has a necklace. He has his powers are guns and being a
I can explain it to you very simply.
All right, here you hit.
Hush is, Bruce Wayne had a friend when he was a kid who was from another rich family down the street, and he grew up to become a doctor, but he was mad because Bruce's mom and dad had a good life, and his family was fucked up.
Oh,
and then
man.
Bruce's he tried to kill his parents. Bruce's dad ended up saving their lives, but his mom ended up tormenting him his whole life. So he grew up and spent his whole life trying to get revenge on Bruce Wayne, became a doctor. Then he got involved with a bunch of villains and befriended them so that they could then take their revenge on Batman once he found out that Bruce Wayne was Batman.
Hush. It all says it right in the name.
Hush.
Hush. Oh, Hush.
That's why I'm going to say Hush, because it's such a long story.
Yeah. Hush, because shut up. So you would say pick this up?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Right. Let's move on.
If you love the cartoon, you'll love this even better.
Let's talk about Dark Wolverine number 88. Now, I'm assuming this is in the stack because, Pete, you're a fan of the Punisher. And you have not.
No, this is in the stack because he wants to bust my balls about it. That's
I have no interest in your balls or busting them. I just like talking about good comics. And this, my friend, is a titanic bout between two superheroes in their prime. Dark Wolverine, Wolverine's son, who's got claws in weird places. And then Frank Castle the Punisher at his prime, cut up into small pieces and sewn back together with tubes coming through his body. He has to take weird pills, and he's just not as good at killing people. That's a story. That, my friends, is comical storytelling. Who's going to win, the Punisher or Dark Wolverine? I don't know, probably Dark Wolverine. He already beat him once. He's probably the best hero in this comic book.
The thing I like about the Punisher is sometimes he can be like the grittiest, most realistic hero. He's out on the streets fighting with the guns, but now he's Frankenstein.
I was going to say, that's a ridiculous thing to like.
Do you like, have you been enjoying Frank and Castle?
I haven't been following Frank and Castle. I do like Dark Wolverine, though. So, like, Dark Wolverine has won me over.
I love it, too. It's very good. And this is...
Ridiculous.
Well, the fight's very weird. They're both like, I hate you. And then they're like, I can't get my gun up. And Dark Wolverine's like, I just can't reach you with my claws. So it's a very weird...
I see all these tubes with glowing wicked light on my body. So I'm not going to cut those. I'm going to stab you around those.
She's like, I'm instead just going to knock this elevator down a few floors. Deal with that. Try to get to the office building you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
I know.
Cool. This sounds like a great comic. Let's move on and talk about Brightest Day, number 6. You guys, once again, it is the brightest day in the DC Universe, which means people's skins are getting ripped off. People are getting ripped in half. Bubble gum is falling all over the place. Actually, that's kind of nice. What do you guys think about this issue?
Well, it's you get a lot for your money in this issue. There's a lot of different smaller stories going on. So that, I say I like. I enjoyed the art. But right now, it's a lot of like weird, like, what? Going on because it's little interesting team-ups that don't make any sense or don't have any kind of connecting stuff going on.
I just think this comic is so boring. Nothing is happening in this comic. They're like, oh, something bad is going on with Firestorm. And every issue, he's like, all right, I hate you, we're Firestorm. And that's all that happens. They fly around and nothing changes. And with Aquaman, it's like, I don't feel right. I can only talk to dead fish. And his wife, like, I know. And then they just move on. They're like, oh, Hawk and Dove. Who gives a shit about Hawk and Dove? Does anyone like these characters? Why?
There's one's Hawk and one's Dove, and they're like a couple. And it's
great name. Yeah, it's really cute, but it's just a mess. And then I like Deadman. I like the Deadman stuff. But, like, it's just all, it's like,
because he's dead, but now he's alive and he doesn't know what to do with himself. He's alive now.
That's a twist.
As a casual reader of DC books, these are the most frustrating things in the world because it's 5 pages of one here, and just as you're slowly figuring out who this is, they jump across the world to someone else and you have no idea what's going on.
Like, yeah. As a devoted reader of DC books, this is the worst. So there you go.
I don't know. And Martian Manhunter, like, it's just,
I like him, but this is tough right now.
He seems like a nice enough guy. But like, and finally, supposedly next issue they're going to reveal what the deal is, but it's just they've been spinning their wheels for all this time.
Great. I think that's a nice note to end on. And that's it for the stack.
Woo!
That's
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bag.
Booth Bag! All right.
Yeah, what's up, cool Jay? Booth, it should be known, lives in the booth.
Thanks, yeah, that's, Mom. That's why he, he's kicked out of his mom's house and they have to live in the booth, basically.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For what?
Well, letting you stay there.
A place to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So I got some questions or whatever. Do studios alienate fans by not releasing Comic-Con footage online right after the show?
Huh.
Ooh.
We should all know what that's
You mean like comic book companies? Or do you mean like studios?
I think they're talking about like there was a Green Lantern footage was shown, Avengers footage was shown, other things were shown, and they're not going to show up online for a good long while. I don't think it's... I mean, it's all marketing, so it's not necessarily about...
It's just rewarding the people who are there at the thing, but it's just frustrating if you can't, you know, go...
Yeah, it's like, I mean, candy exists other places, but we don't have it for you here.
Right, huge tease, guys.
No, see, the internet exists.
Guys, candy's real. Let's just all agree.
But see, the internet exists, so I want everything right now here. Because that's the way it works.
Right.
Yeah. The internet also exists. Spoiler.
What?
Sorry, everyone's just ruining everything.
Well, what do you think, Craig Pants?
Well, I think it's like building hype. You show it. There's so much buzz around Comic-Con, like who's releasing what, and then people going to front. It's funny because like they've been doing so many Scott Pilgrim screenings, actually. We were talking about this today after the movie with my large group of friends I went to see with. And we were saying they're doing so many screenings. Pete saw one like 2 months ago. Why? And they're all for free. And I think it's just like getting the word of mouth out there so that everyone can... it'd be like, this movie is so great. And it's one of these movies, Scott Pilgrim is, that it's such a different type of movie that I think they need this, like, young buzz to get it.
Sure. I mean, on the other hand, I think some of the stuff, sometimes they rush things to get them together for Comic-Con, and they may just not be done. I mean, they may have effects that are good enough that you can show them off at Comic-Con, and people will be like, oh my god, I get to see Thor moving, but he's holding, like, you know, a stick.
A regular hammer.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Pirates promo that was leaked and then released from Comic-Con? That made me not excited for the movie. It's just Johnny Depp talking to the camera for 2 minutes saying, hey, we're making a movie, and I'm still Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, and so I think part of it is they may not want to do it yet, and then some of the stuff hits. Like last year, they showed off, a couple of years ago, they showed off that Tron teaser. People went nuts, and that still took a year to go online. Maybe it has something to do with rights as well. I don't know. We're very vague on this issue.
We don't know much about it, really.
Cool. Well, raise your hand if you have a question. Pete is going to bring you a special surprise.
A fun prize.
Yeah, Pete, what are you going to give people today?
Well, I give them the normal stack, but also you're going to put your name on and address, mailing address on the back of this, and you get a free Sex Bomb shirt.
That's from Mr. Ben Joseph here.
Those are Busted Tees, which are family company of College Humor. So
family company. That's nice.
Yeah. Do you eat your meals family style with them?
What is family style?
You know.
Big bowls. Let's get the next question.
All right.
Why have European comics, and then in parentheses it says Bendez Dessiné, never made it in the U.S.?
Because we're stupid.
Oh, okay.
Because we've never heard of that.
Yeah.
And if we haven't heard of it, it's not good? Is that
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Or like they're so like fruity tooty with their, you know, baguettes. They're like, I'm the X-Men. What's happening to get baguettes in smoking?
Oh, I love the X-Men.
Yeah, it's the X-Men. He's a good color.
Wow.
Letter trip.
We're really citizens of the world on this show. You guys should know that.
What do you think?
I don't know. When I was in Paris, like last year, and
what?
Went to a comic book store.
Wait, hold on, why did you invite me?
Jeez.
I got an invite.
Yeah. Pete and I went to Paris together.
Yeah.
That's normal. We're just reading comic books. And
yeah, it was nice. We had this real moment where like he started eating the spaghetti, and like I was eating
spaghetti,
the spaghetti.
Great Parisian spaghetti.
Yeah, just a quick question.
Was that a Lady in the Tramp reference?
Yeah.
Cool. Really, as I said, we're really citizens of the world.
I think the other question is why, because like other than Japanese stuff, what are other cultures' stuff don't make it in America? Americans hate other things.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great comics that come out of Britain. I mean, I've 2000 AD, for example. And there's been a lot of writers that have been stolen by American companies.
Stolen,
kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, there's a serious black market trade in comic
book
writers.
In your basement right now.
Yeah, well.
Graham Morrison in Scotland, they're just dying to find him. They don't know where he is. They don't ever read the blogs. Well, I think we, in anyway, in Paris, there's that Black Sod is a big French comic, and it's been around forever. It's just now being released in the U.S. And I think it's the language is the main thing.
I actually think it's picking up a little bit. It certainly feels like it to me as people are branching out a little bit more and experimenting more with indie comics. The companies are feeling freer to reprint things here. So I personally have been feeling like the past year or two I've been seeing a lot more reprints. So I think it's changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Canadian comics.
Like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. See, it's coming.
It's coming, guys. Yeah, comics from like Boston.
Yeah.
Real foreign stuff. Raise your hand if you ask that. Beats can bring you some presents. Let's get the next question.
All right.
Is there an overused Marvel villain that should be retired?
Good question. No.
They're all amazing.
All of them?
Yep, every single last one.
Vulture?
Actually, I do feel slightly like Doom is a little overused right now. That he just keeps coming in every time. They're like, oh no, Doom's got us. No, it's a Doom bot. Every single time it's a Doom bot.
Well, but lately it's been like, oh no, Doom's got us. Oh, it's actually him. Oh, now he's gone. It's like,
Or it's the old Doom in a wheelchair that's just like being creepy.
Yeah, and Doom is great. I mean, he's a great villain. It's just, you need to see him a little bit less or in different circumstances.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Ben?
I just think in general, with retirees, it's so hard to make a popular thing. They never go away. I mean, like, they will beat it into the ground and it'll disappear by itself. I don't think, no one will ever make a conscious choice to take something off the market. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's like, Wolverine, we're using Wolverine way too much. Let's just take him away. He's not, you know, that's not something people do. Like, just because it's so hard. Who are the villains who should be featured more? That's my question. Because who are the up-and-comers who aren't getting their time in the spotlight?
Fing Fang Foo.
Yeah, I love Fing Fang Foo.
I love the Mandarin, and he's just now coming back. I think he's a great villain, but underused.
Doom's one of my favorite, though.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see him go away. I just want to see not everybody using him all the time.
Well, and I think it's also, like, Doom's become this thing where it's like, oh my god, he's such a smart scientist, and he's just been so scarred, but he's really great. And then, like, also, he's super magical. So, like, watch out, because if he's not using science, he's going to, like, make you disappear. Or, like, also, he can travel through time because he's got these great platforms called time platforms.
Right. That you can travel through time. Talking about, like, platform shoes.
Yeah.
They're really cool. I like that. Yeah. He's really actually really short, but he wears platforms.
Yeah.
So he seems scary.
That's Pete, who do you think?
I didn't even hear the question.
Cool. Raise your hand and ask that.
Wait, what was it?
What villains in the Marvel Universe are overused?
Oh.
Would you say maybe, like, the Punisher?
No, he's not a villain. He's a hero.
Well, he kills people.
No,
all the time.
For the good of mankind.
I don't know.
That's exactly
killing
about his
right?
family.
But there's, you know, there's pulling him back a little bit, then there's taking them off the stage completely, which is just, you know, retire is a big... Who has been retired in the past?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Never?
Never.
I just feel like they go through cycles where it's like, they think somebody's hot and they get used a lot. And then
is Phoenix coming back? Is she ever... Is she?
Yeah,
I'm sure she will, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they just did a thing with Hope.
Oh, is Phoenix Hope? Is that the thing?
Well, there was a little thing where... The White Queen saw, like, little phoenix heads come out of the... and it was like, already we're doing this?
Wait, the Dracula White Queen or the regular White Queen?
All right, raise your hand.
There's so much going on in comics!
Here we go. You have a bunch of them?
Look at that.
Super quick lightning round. Let's do it. Let's have fun.
In your professional opinion, how do you feel about the Hulk being a raging, horny mess in semi-recent comics?
First off, we do not have professional opinions on this show. Secondly... I don't know exactly how much horniness the Hulk's been.
Are you talking about the Ultimates?
Or talking about the Old Man Logan?
Or are you talking about your fan fit?
Did the Hulk fuck someone? Did the Hulk fuck someone? Did that happen?
Hulk fuck. Hulk fuck. Those are two weird words.
has Bruce Banner as Hulk ever had sex with someone?
He had sex with the Power Princess, I think her name is.
There was a seminal issue where...
he's also sterile,
what did
right?
you just say? What did you just say?
Seminal issue.
I'm just saying. Oh. Okay, we're going to move on. Next question.
Who would you fuck, marry, or kill? Ed Norton, Mark Ruffalo, Lou Ferrigno. Where's Eric Bana, by the way?
He's standing at the side watching.
That's the way he wants it. That's the way he wants it.
Nice. That's how Eric Banner sounds, right?
Yeah.
Cool. He does when he's watching people have sex, I imagine.
Yeah.
Marry Mark Ruffalo because he's adorable.
Agree.
True. Kill Edward Norton just because. Fuck Luke Ferrigno.
How will you just for the experience?
Yeah,
I think that's the right answer. Let's
that's
get the
kind
answer.
Of whole answer.
Okay.
No more details.
Is Pete the Comic-Con stabber? I don't know.
For those of you who don't know, there was a kind of a hilarious incident. Actually, this is kind of a sad incident. Everybody keeps making fun of it. There was a guy who was so desperate to get into the Marvel movie panel that he stabbed somebody who was sitting in a seat with a pen in their eye.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, now I should mention that the guy, and I just found this out today, the guy who would not leave his seat was there to see the Resident Evil 4 panel.
Right. That's,
which is kind of sad in and of itself.
Oh, Jesus.
Why is that sad? That's what he likes
right,
to
we're
see.
We're going
to
move on to the next question.
Is it Pete? Yes,
it was Pete.
No.
Let's go to the next one.
What is your battle cry?
Oh, no.
Another
battle cry.
Let's get to the next question.
Who would win in a fight, Chuck Norris or Old Spice guy?
Ooh. Wow.
I got to go with Chuck
Norris. I don't
know.
What,
in the fight of public opinion, I think it's Old Spice guy.
Yeah. Probably Betty White.
Wow, so tough.
Last one. What is the filthiest thing you're willing to say in front of Booth Man's mother?
Oh, no.
Booth Man didn't take a shower today.
Oh.
I don't know if that's
I feel bad if I bring up Hulk sex now.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been swearing the whole show.
Yeah, I think the newly coined Hulk fuck term.
That's it for your audience questions. Guys. We're going to move on to the next question, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Okay.
All right.
A big topic, of course, which you already touched on a lot, was San Diego Comic-Con. It happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
There were a ton of announcements. First couple of things to talk about.
Oh, we have our Tampa Comic-Con preview coming up as well.
Oh, yeah. Wait, are we going to that?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to the one on November 7th. There's so much news at the Midrake convention.
The Midrake?
I don't know. I didn't name it.
Moonraker Conventional?
Yeah, they love that movie down there.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we pretty much covered Comic-Con.
Yeah,
definitely. There were a lot of big announcements. Just to start off, we did talk about the Marvel movie panel. Let's go to the next slide.
There isn't one.
Oh, no! Oh, no. All right, well, there's no next slide, so don't worry about it. You can't see a picture of the Avengers standing all together, so sorry about it, you guys.
Thor is really tall.
Thor is very tall. That's something to take away. Now, there was the Marvel movie panel. Did you guys follow along with the news? What did you think about it?
Joss Whedon, well, I mean, everyone's sort of known that Joss Whedon is directing, but that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, to him.
And most everyone.
Oh, yeah, it's pointing to Joss Whedon.
No. You.
Yeah, he's
you
standing right
Joss
over
Whedon.
There.
In the corner, he's like, yeah!
Well, here's the question. Joss Whedon, you make geeks across America happy, but is he going to make a good movie?
I think
so.
Right,
exactly.
I don't think so.
What?
No.
Why don't you think so?
Because he's great at writing dialogue, but not in a big action-adventure movie.
Have
I don't
you
want
seen Serenity?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah! What of it?
I actually didn't even have a point. I was just making sure.
And he just lobbed it right back at you.
Other things, Jeremy Rayner is going to be Hawkeye. And
I know, people have been dying for the Hawkeye Rayner news. Anybody?
Yeah, cool.
I hope actually everybody quotes like the titles of their most favorite movies. I hope Jeremy Rayner is like, I'm going to put you in the Hurt Locker. And I hope later on in the movie, Mark Ruffalo, after they fought the Hulk, he's Bruce Banner, he's like, listen, you guys got to put me in. We got to team up. They're like, I don't know, can we trust you? We'll be like, you can count on me.
Sorry, anyway. Oh, there we go.
Okay,
we got some fans over there. Yeah, it's great. Really touch the people. Oh, you guys should meet up after and talk about that movie.
What?
Shield guy. He's an Avenger. Agent Shield. What's his name?
Clark Gregg.
Clark Gregg.
Agent Coulson?
Because it was, yeah, Agent Coulson is an Avenger now, apparently, because it was all these beefy actors, and then Shield guy.
He's been around for so long.
Yeah. Other big thing that happened right at the end of the con was the Marvel booth unveiled the Infinity Gauntlet. An actual movie prop that apparently is going to show up in the Thor movie, though nobody knows how. You guys excited for that?
Yeah, it'll probably be on someone's hand. That's
Wow.
Great spoiler.
Or it could be just sitting in a glass case.
They already showed that.
Or it could be somebody like trying to shove it on their foot and be like, whoa, this worked.
Yeah, like, great comedy bit.
Yeah.
It's sort of unexpected. The old glove on the foot trick, popularized in vaudeville. I'm just like
a glove that does anything. Is that what that is?
Pretty much.
So,
you what?
You shouldn't have that in a movie,
huh?
Yeah.
That's really?
Why not?
Because you're the biggest plot hole in the. You know, you give someone the glove that does anything, and your movie's over.
Well, to be fair, like
Thanos had it for a while and he lost it. So it
I actually think that was the first big crossover I was vaguely aware of was the Infinity Gauntlet.
Great crossover.
Yeah.
One of those.
I will say that's always my problem with bringing things. Apparently, another little bit of a spoiler for the footage, the Cosmic Cube is going to play in the Captain America movie.
I think that's
my problem. My problem with like the Cosmic Cube and the Infinity Gauntlet, because it does anything, is the villains are always like, I can do anything, I'm going to freeze you first, and then I'm going to tell you some stuff.
Well, I think the real reveal there is...
feed you ice cream until you explode.
The true power is imagination.
If that's how I'm going to die, I would love to OD on ice cream.
OD?
Yeah.
Cool, man. Awesome. I hate the Cosmic Cube, because much to your point, like they're always like, and then someone knocks out their hand, they're like, oh, I'm done. I lose. The cube's way over.
Are there other things that do anything in the Marvel Universe? Or even... someone has a ring, right, that is like within 10 feet that does anything?
Yep. Yes, Freedom Ring.
Not a lot of people are...
Also, he got tentacle raped to death. I'm not joking.
That's true. So yeah, he got retired. There's a guy.
Yeah, he retired.
Yeah.
What other announcements were you guys excited about? Pete, there was actually one more announcement out of the Marvel panel, is that Marvel has the Punisher back.
Nice. Well, that's great news, because who's reading this breaking character bullshit?
No, I mean, Marvel Studios.
They've always kept the book.
Oh. Well, I thought they meant that they were going to go back to the real Punisher again, which I would be excited.
No. Marvel Studios apparently has all of the rights to make Punisher movies back again. Which is great because they can take a fourth stab at it.
Yeah.
Really,
I think they'll get it right, yeah.
I think so.
If my phone rings, I can make the perfect Punisher movie.
What aspect would you work on in that?
I would just all be killing. An hour and 45 of just the Punisher being like,
no story, no name, no speaking.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Cool. You should just go to a gun range. Watch, man.
What they should do is have one line of dialogue in the middle where a lady comes up and is like, listen, Frank, I've always... And then she gets killed. And then he kills the guy and kills her. And then they're back to like,
Yeah, I just want all the dialogue to be like, hold on a sec. Just repeat it over while he's like reloading or just like...
No, excuse me, Mr. Punisher. Just one sec. They're like, no, seriously. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
As long as they take 45 minutes for him to find a t-shirt with a skull on it, like, movie, I'm all in. What other movies were you excited about? What other announcements were you guys excited about from San Diego?
Batman Incorporated was a pretty weird announcement. The new Grant Morrison book with Yannick Paquette.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's a sequel to Kids Incorporated.
Batman Incorporated. So Grant Morrison, he writes one where the League of Batman?
Is that the Club of Heroes.
Is that what Batman Incorporated is going to be?
Hints of that. There's hints that Bruce Wayne is going to be Batman as well as Dick Grayson, and then you have a bunch of Robins running around as well. So sort of getting them together as a team instead of just Batman and Robin.
Right. So that's going to last until they need to make the third Batman movie. Everything's going to have to go just back.
Pretty much.
As soon as not geeks have to read it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about comics versus movies versus TV. How do you guys think it fell out in terms of this particular Comic-Con?
Let's see. Movies.
Nice.
Win.
TV.
Ben?
Do I have a choice? Yeah. Mobile games.
Oh, nice. Movies.
Mobile games?
Yeah.
Is that where you cut off the mobiles?
Yeah, you're really plugged in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a nice sort of spread. It was surprising. I felt like there were a lot fewer comic book announcements, or it seemed that way.
Yeah, I mean, over the past couple of years, comics have generally been kind of retreating from Comic-Con because I think they feel like they're going to get so lost in the shuffle with the big movie announcements that they're not going to get any press, as opposed to, say, something like New York Comic-Con, which is actually very easily distributed.
Well, it also makes it, that more enticing for fans to select which one they want to go to. Like, if you really want to know what's going on in the movies, you go to San Diego. If you want to, be more comics oriented, you could go to the other ones, and it's not.
Or you read the internet.
Yeah.
And then you just learn everything.
There you go. All right, guys, that's it for the Week in Geek. Hooray!
Yeah.
Now, we're going to move over to trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
Mr. Pete LePage!
It's the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? You've already won a t-shirt. We're going to have to go with you. Come on up.
Come on up.
Yeah.
Wow, how often do we have a woman up
here? Yeah. Oh, what's your name?
Tara.
Tara, audience?
Audience. Honestly, Tara. You may be the first woman.
Oh, like, come on, be cool. Now you know why women don't show.
That's great. No, no, I'm not berating. I'm saying this is great.
You make her
this is a great step forward.
Justin, you're one step away from your tongue rolling out of your mouth.
Oh, man, if I had superpowers, it would be that.
So, Tara, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3, gift card yours. Okay? Ready? Yeah, okay, today's trivia is on One Moment in Time, or Omit, the Spider-Man crappy series. Don't ever buy it. Thank you, Boothman. All right, here we go. Question number one. What did MJ whisper into Mephisto's ear? Was it A, leave Spider-Man alone? Was it B, now that I have here, can you give me some like better acting gigs or something? I'm kind of getting bored. Was it C, some people shouldn't write comic books? So it's probably A, which is the correct answer, or you should, could go with B or C.
I'm gonna say A.
A is correct! Oh, nice. She whispered to leave Spider-Man alone. All right, here we go. Question number two. After all this time, what have we learned? Is it A, obesity is a serious issue? B, we should bring back the comic book code so comics like this won't ever be made? Or is it C, if you wrap a piece of shit in nice artwork, it's still a piece of shit? And really, anyone you want to pick, it's fine.
I'm going to go with C.
C, yeah!
Really playing.
Awesome, awesome. Should have MJ whispered to Mephisto. Should she have said, Aunt May is gonna die, why don't you just leave us the F alone? B, renewing marriages, really? Ruining marriages, really? That's what the devil's work is? Come on. Get a real job, Mephisto. Or is it C, why are we talking right now? Why should we even trust the devil? I mean, this is weird. Sorry. Kind of went off on a weird rant there at the end.
You went off on a weird rant 3 years ago.
I'm gonna say B.
B is correct! $25, $3.
Congratulations.
Thank you for letting me berate you for 2 minutes.
Nice.
This has been another episode of We Berated You for 2 Minutes.
Yeah.
And now, tomorrow, as we all know, is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Razzle. I believe there's a new Razzle coming. Yeah. Well,
what's good about Razzle, Pete?
Well, the art is, you know, very nice, and the writing is solid, and it's a fun, unique story that's worth checking out.
Oh, well,
very well. There we go.
I'm looking forward to Fear Agent. There's a new Fear Agent story arc coming up. Great comic. Been looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to Thor the Mighty Avenger number 2 is coming out. I really enjoyed the first issue. In particular, Chris Samnee's art on it was gorgeous, and the colors were great as well. So I'm really hoping the second issue holds up as well as the first one did. Ben?
Is Dr. Horrible going to be good? Is that going to be? Is it going to be like, we're talking like Buffy Season 8 or like Serenity Comics?
I don't know what you think.
I think Buffy's good. I think Serenity was very just bad.
Yeah.
Except for the one Patton Oswalt did, that was really good.
No, it's still bad.
No, it's good. Good.
So you're not looking forward to that?
Oh, it's going to be like the second, the bad one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But it sounds like it'd be fun. I really enjoyed it, you know.
You guys are really getting to the core for DC. I guess we neither of us.
Tell me what to get.
Tell you what, I'll read it, I'll give you a call, I'll let you know.
Great.
And then we can, you know, get to
We're happy to do that for anyone in the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about me?
And Ben.
No.
Okay.
No,
not so much. Ben, plug some stuff of yours that people
I work for a website, you should go to it. And you know, and that, it all filters back to me. I get those internet dollars. So that
would be great. And the website is collegehumor.com.
Yes, that is the one.
Nice. All right, very good. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comic.
All three of us you can check out there.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And
Before we...
Please. I think we should say that...
Pete's birthday was Sunday. He turned 42. It's great. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You're halfway to your death or so.
Thanks.
And also at 42, you finally understand the meaning of life.
Take it back.
Huh? Oh, I see. Wow, that's a real weird reference. And we've decided to give Pete for a present. Next week's show is going to be all Pete. Pete is going to be hosting it. Pete is going to be deciding what happens on the show. It's Pete's birthday show.
Yeah, and he may have two special surprise people as his guests.
Yes.
Us. Probably not.
Oh, no?
Yep.
Not really selling.
Why don't you guys take Tuesday off? I'll take care of business.
All right.
I'm kidding.
Okay. So many birthday presents.
Still got a job.
Every time I have a birthday present, the person's like, go away.
Yeah.
Get out of the room.
Guys, a couple of people we got to thank before we go. We want to thank Benton for being on the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Great having you, sir. Come back anytime. But in those seats.